Where am I going with this study? Tim, where are you going? What are you doing? I'll tell you a good question. I'll tell you why. Where I'm going. The 23rd Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I will want for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. And when he does that, he renews my life." And now here's the next, this next part is salient to us. "He leads me along the best paths, the right paths, and then for his name's sake," for his name's sake. "And even though those paths take me through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I know you're with me." Listen, God's people, where we're going with this is you might be or will be on a road, if you're his, on a road that you're going through a valley of the shadow of death. And God gives us the confidence that it's the right path. Even that is the right path. And it's the path that is right for his name's sake. And if you're there, and if you're going there, or you're going to go there, you can have the absolute confidence that you don't have to fear any evil. You don't have to fear evil because you know that it was the path that he chose for you. And that's where I hope to take us as a congregation in this study. Because if your faith is boring to you, if your praying is boring to you, and I submit that I think we all go through those periods of desert kind of experiences with our faith and with our praying. If that's true of you, this study can absolutely ignite your faith and your praying. And that is my hope and prayer. So we're going to do, I want some questions from you today when we go through this. We want to hear what you have to say. Remember the one-minute reprimand that Keith got just last time, that when you go out of the study, when you go out of the sanctuary, sometimes you'll say something to me, a very penetrating, insightful comment. And I say to you back, well, then say that so everybody can hear it. So we're going to do that today. And don't worry about saying something that, like Kathy said, well, I'm afraid to ask something because I'm afraid everybody else knows it, and I'm just, you know, I'm the only one who doesn't know it. Don't ever assume that. Oh, if you have a question, then ask it, because probably everybody else is thinking the same thing. All right? Now, Tad and Teresa, the teachers, how'd I do there? How was that? Okay, thank you, Tad. That was... Okay. Okay. All right. So here we go with our notes, and you got your highlighters at the ready, and whatever hits you, whatever you need to highlight. This is my notes, and you can see the things that I highlighted. That helps me in my study a lot. So we take the verse from Psalm 37:4. Kay pointed out last week that she was already there when we were talking about this. And that verse, and that is, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires." Now, underneath that, what you might want to write, just my suggestion, promise with a condition. You've heard me say many times, every promise in Scripture has a condition. God will do this in response to you doing this. We can count on God to keep his part of the bargain. God will deliver. The missing part of this equation is, right, if we take delight in the Lord, he'll give us something. He'll give us desires. He'll give us desires. That's what that verse means. It doesn't mean the object. It means the desire. Your desires will become different. So that's a promise with a condition. you do this, and he'll do that. You see? You do this, and he'll do that. I decided at the onset of this study, and I'm so glad Teresa's here today. You know, last week she wasn't here, you remember that, and I just threw me off. But she's here today, so I'm clicking, I think. I think so. And at the onset of this study, I made a commitment to God, and that is this, and it's a very simple thing. I'm going to absolutely believe him. Is that a novel idea? I'm going to absolutely trust him. I'm going to absolutely take the promises that he made, and I'm going to hang my hat on those promises. So in relation to prayer spills out of what? Our desires, doesn't it? Your prayer, doesn't it spill out of your desires? Things you want? And then you go and you pray about it. We had prayer requests this morning. This is our desire, Lord. And so we're going to pray that you fulfill this desire. Well, purified prayer spills out of purified desires. Make sense? And why is that important? Because purified prayer is always answered. Always answered. The Holy Spirit wants us to stop praying to God. Or at God. Here's note time. The Holy Spirit, we're to pray with God. Now this is different, isn't it? Because right now, a lot of us are praying to God. We're going to pray with God. God is a triune. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, well, now plug in and get this. Every prayer that Jesus ever made was answered by God the Father. God the Son, Jesus, was praying with God the Father. Jesus said, the words that I speak, I'm not speaking on my own. I'm only saying what I hear from the Father. He says, I always do the will of the Father. I always do what he wants. He said, the Father and I are one. He said, I can do nothing of my own. Jesus says this. So that is God the Son praying with God the Father, didn't he? Okay, now, where's the Holy Spirit? Where's God the Holy Spirit? Interaction time. Where's God the Holy Spirit? What?
In us. Around us.
Peter says, repent, all of you, in Acts chapter 2, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. You, as men and women of God, have indwelling in you the Holy Spirit. Okay? When the Holy Spirit within you and me prays with God the Father, just like God the Son prayed with the Father, he will always answer that prayer. If you pray, if you allow, if you embrace the Holy Spirit's praying in you, it will always be answered. Questions? How do you do that? How do you change your desires?
Change your attitude.
Keith says, change your attitude. Can you open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7. Purified prayer is always answered. Look at what Jesus says. Now, again, you're with me on this, right? We're just going to believe Jesus. We're just going to trust what he says. And he says, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. What is he talking about? What is the searching, the knocking, the asking? Now stay in context when you read Scripture. Stay in context. What's he talking about in this whole message? What are we to keep asking for? What are we to keep searching for? What are we to keep knocking for? And the answer is, you look up at verse 33 in chapter 6. You see that? If that is your sincere desire. And Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom, and then he says later, he says, keep at it. You keep asking, you keep searching, you keep knocking, and it will be given to you, you will receive, and the door will be opened. If that is my desire, and if that is your desire, to seek first the kingdom, and you stay with it, Jesus says, you're going to be answered every single time. And here's how you're going to be answered. He says, if you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more does the Father know how to give good gifts? So, here, the valley of the shadow that you're walking through. If you're seeking, knocking, and asking for the kingdom, you can trust, like David said, I'm going through this valley and it seems like the shadow of death, but I know what my desire is. My desire ever and always is that I see and understand and enter God's kingdom. And therefore, I understand that what is happening to me is God's answer to that search. Comments? Is that harsh? Does that minimize suffering? Now, I know some of you in here have talked to me about this. Do you know what I mean? What do I mean? Rephrase it to me. He said, if you ask, you're not going to get a stone or a snake. You're going to get bread and you're going to get fish. And Jesus says, trust God, trust God, trust God. Because your goal is to seek the kingdom, right? Your goal is to ask. Your goal is knocking at the kingdom door. And if you do that and you're diligent about it and you persist in it, whatever comes along, you can understand and trust that that is from God's hand to potentiate your entrance into the kingdom. Do you trust him? Clicking? Tracking? Questions? Yes, Ellen? Everybody get that? Well, good, thank you, Ellen. What else? Do you have stones and snakes? Who's got a stone and a snake? Are you a child of God? Are you searching? Knocking? Is your priority taking delight in the Lord? Is that your goal? Because if it is, you don't have any stones and snakes. You got bread and fish, and you don't realize it. Yes, Kathy.
What about when the evil one throws a wrench in the
The evil one throws a wrench in the path constantly to try and get you to think that that piece of bread and that piece of fish is a stone and a snake and you can't trust God. That's how he comes at us.
And so somehow God stands aside and allows that one thing or whatever that is to happen. And that's where our trust comes. That has been allowed to happen for his glory.
That thing is exactly what is needed in our individual lives to experience the kingdom, to make us Christ-like, to mold us into the image. Keith?
I don't like that.
You don't like that. Keith, do you like that?
No.
What's that, Keith?
Yeah.
You've talked to me about this.
Yeah. I believe that you get a hardship. It's like hardening steel, an edge. And the more you experience hardship, the harder it makes you. But not that like that sounds, but it just hones the edge. You can make it sharper.
So I know Keith, not to get too Keith had a traumatic injury. And I was involved with that. You know this, and it changed you.
Yeah, I mean, you suffer that kind of a head injury, you don't walk away from destroying a car with your head. Yeah, you still you walk. Yeah, I didn't. Well, I didn't walk. I broke my leg. You either go one way or the other.
You can go one way or the other, Kathy. Yeah, you go one way or the other. What Kathy said, what you just said, Kath says, how does the enemy throw a monkey wrench in here? And he does.
You know, I took it, and Susie and I joined the squad. We made good out of it.
You went through the valley of the shadow, but you know because you're a child of God, we know we can fear no evil, and we know we serve a sovereign God, and we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking, and therefore Jesus says, whatever. You're asking for God's intervention, and this is how God is going to answer that search. And this is the bread and the fish that you're given. And our thing, like Teresa said, she hates that. Yeah, me too, because I have a roadmap that I would like to prescribe for Christ-likeness, and it's the broad road, right? That's what he said. Jesus follows up with that. He said, the road's narrow, and it's hard, and few there are who find it. My prescription for Christ-likeness is the broad, easy road. And the problem, there's so many, well, I can't say so many, but there are some churches that have bought into this. Yes, Kathy again.
So what if the wrench looks like a good wrench?
What do you mean?
Mr. Good Wrench. It's like, too good to be true. It's just great. Thank you, God. Oh, it's great. And it's a false wrench. And I mean, it's a false gift. Or, like, so you have to, it's too good to be true. It's too easy. Something. It's not from God. So you just have to ask, if I take this, yes, is it Lord my God? If I go down this road, is it Lord my God? Or what? Like, I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Well, yeah, you're making sense. I'm gonna. We shouldn't assume that if you ask, seek, and knock, that God's gonna whack you. You understand? Don't assume that. God can use good gifts, also, doesn't he? He gave me good gifts. He gave me my wife, good gift. He gave me this church, good gift. But there's some things that I looked at as stones and snakes too. You see,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Nate.
Sometimes we pray for stones and snakes.
That's exactly.
God doesn't answer our prayer. We don't know why.
Right. That's a good comment. Sometimes our prayers are to ask for stones and snakes, and God steps back like we would. Jesus compares it with earthly parents, and when our children would ask for something that would harm them and their growth and their maturity and their development, we would not grant that. So we, as God's people, if you take delight in the Lord, we, as God's people, can be 100% confident that what comes through our praying is exactly what God needed, or we needed from God, to make us image bearers. Is that tough? You like that? Teresa, you like that?
But I think it is. I don't like it, no, but I'm really, really, really excited about what is mine as a result of that, I guess. I'm thinking of two things connected together. One is that the joy set before him endured the cross, right? Then I also think about Jesus saying to the disciples, if you have a faith as tiny as this mustard seed, you can tell this mulberry tree to be uprooted and to be replanted into the sea, and it will obey you. Now that is a power beyond my imagination. First of all, you don't plant trees in the ocean, but I would have that power, and I think that would fit. I'm fitting it in my mind. You're asking us to let these things roll on our minds.
I am.
Think about that. Even though I hate it, what comes along with that trust is an amazing thing. An amazing thing.
And okay, so what? To your point, here we have God the Son in Jesus of Nazareth. Look at the power. And what Jesus says, startling and stunning, in John, he says, you will have greater power. Because you, he says, I'm sending the Comforter, I'm sending the Spirit who's going to reside in you, and if you allow the Spirit to pray with God the Father, you have the same power. Yes, Kathy.
Do we hate it because we have to give up ourselves, we have to die to ourselves? Is that why we all hate that?
Yes, and that brings us, thank you, that brings us to our next, right there, the desires, okay? Good segue, Kathy. Nice. So the psalmist says, take delight in the Lord, okay? Well, what are the delights? What are the delights? Now, I would encourage you to write next to the desires, I would encourage you to write per Jesus. The delights per Jesus. So what are the delights? There they are. He says, when you pray, you should pray like this. This should be your goal. This should be your delight. This should be what you want. And here they are. That his name be honored as holy, that his kingdom would come, and that his will would be done. All of these things done here, right now, on earth, remember, like it is in heaven. That should be, those are the delights. And then he sums it up later in that sermon, where seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That should be your delights, Kathy. Now, the brilliance of Jesus, redundant, I know, to see it say that, but then he lists the needs. Again, I would put per Jesus. Teresa and I have talked about this. That model prayer of his is just, you could just sink into that for a long time. It's so profound. And this is what he says in that model prayer. He starts with the delights. When you pray, you should have these delights. And then he says, the last three petitions, These are the needs that will be filled for you if these are your genuine delights. Look at the needs. We'll have daily bread. Your daily necessities will be provided. Forgiveness. I wrote, and here maybe at the side, I wrote relationships with people and God. That's a need. Relationships with people and God is dependent on forgiveness. God forgiving us and us defending and us forgiving others. And then the need is leading and protection. Lead us not in temptation, he says, but deliver us from the evil one. That's a need. And then the needs are summed up again in Matthew 6, 25 to 31, where he goes through that lilies of the field, birds, don't worry about what to eat, don't worry about your clothing. He said, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Three times he says that, because your needs are going to be provided. He doesn't want us to worry.
That's pretty simple.
Three times he says that.
I got something down here about back in the conversation. And if you're truly seeking God, you'll be very, very inquisitive to learn who he is. It'll just become a natural desire for you.
It overtakes you because it's not really you and it's not really me. Okay, get this. It's not me. It's not you. This is the key here. It's the Holy Spirit seeking his own. The Holy Spirit wanting to go home. It's the Holy Spirit praying. Now, okay, everybody clear on the desires and the needs. The desires, Jesus lists, these should be your desires. And then he lists the needs. And if those are your desires, those needs will be provided. Okay, then I made a little commentary there, see? In and of myself, maybe you identify with this, I can't really say that those are my sincere desires. Now, I can fake it. And I can even fake it when I pray. I can say that like a mantra when I pray and not mean a word of it, but I guess I'm instructed to pray this way. Jesus said I should, so I'll just say it kind of attitude. But this is, I want the needs, don't you? I want daily necessities. That sounds really good to me. I want good relationships with God and people. And I want his leading and protection. I want those needs. I want to be fed like the birds, and I want to be clothed like the lilies of the field, and I don't want to have worry in my life. Those are needs, and I really do want those. I can say that, and I bet to everybody in here, without a hesitation, you would say, I really want those needs. Correct? Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want a life free of worry and all of your necessities are provided? Who wouldn't want a life where your relationships are perfected with God and with people? And who wouldn't want a life where you know that God's going to lead you and protect you? I'm signing on with that. Yes, I want those needs. But here's the catch. I want them while and in support of the seeking of my name being honored, my kingly rule, and my will being done. Resonating?
You don't mean his instead of mine?
What?
Just make that clear.
What's the question?
This is a human frailty.
This is the human condition. This is fallen man saying, yeah, Jesus, I want those needs that you just described, but I want them while I seek my kingdom.
That's the fallen world human response.
Yes. Okay. Okay, Dave, good. Genesis 3, you see that in your notes there? Dave, you just said what the enemy said to Adam and Eve. I seek my kingdom and my rightness, Satan's lie of Genesis 3. This is exactly what Satan said, and I want Genesis 3. Do you hear me? I want what Satan offered in Genesis 3. He says, you can have it all, and you can be your own God. You can have it all, and your will be done. You can have your needs supplied, and it will be your kingdom. And boy, that sounds so good to the natural man. Amen. That's attractive. Adam and Eve jumped at it. You see, that's the problem. Here, this is the problem. That paragraph right there is the problem. And if those, maybe this speaks to you. If those desires listed above there are not your desires, if you can't honestly say that, you're buying into Satan's lie. And that God's job is to supply our needs while and in support of our seeking our own kingdom. And this brought chaos into God's good creation, didn't it? Chaos. Can't you see that? If each one of us are doing our own thing and seeking our own kingdom and our will and our honor, can you see the chaos in God's creation? Everybody's going at cross purposes. Everybody's vying for their own stuff. Everybody's trying to protect their own stuff. Does this sound familiar? Do you see this? Because we all want our own. We all want our stuff. And that caused God's creation to spin off into chaos. And that condition has existed since Genesis 3. It existed, and it's so evident in our world today that so many of these groups, the special interest kind of groups, are coming and saying, we want this. And another group comes and say, no, we want this. And then distill that down into individuals. Distill it down into marriages. I want this. And into your children. But a family and a marriage that is clicking and they're all having the same goal, you see, that works. Oh, there's individuality, but there is a singular goal. And that is why Genesis 3 is so damaging. That's what happened to the world. That's what happened to God's creation. And God warned them. He said, it's going to be chaos. If you go your own way, if you seek your will, you want your name to be honored, you want your own kingdom, it's going to be chaos. So what's the answer? How do we get those desires? How do you get them? Do you want them? Do you trust Jesus? If those aren't your desires, what's the very first thing you should do?
Ask for them.
Good. Ask for them. Be honest with God. You know, God, I know I should feel this way. I can't honestly say that I do. And so, God, I am asking that you give me the desires as prescribed by Jesus. I want that, God. And then here's the sting in the tail. You then have to be prepared that what he gives, remember, you asked for God's intervention, you're going to get it. You've got to be prepared for what he gives you. And you have to look at it as a bread and a fish and not a stone and a snake. Because if your request, if you are asking, seeking, and knocking, if your request is, God, give me those desires, and he answers, watch for the next thing that happens in your life, because you can be confident that that is God's answer to your plea. I have such a desire for you to grasp this. It's like a pressure for me. I feel I have such a desire for you to be image-bearing kingdom seekers. And I know that the road is narrow, and I know that it's hard. I get that. And I know that God does deal with us in the way that he needs to deal with us so that our desire changes. I know that. And I also know the risk for you. And maybe what I'm saying right now frightens you. And you might say, you know, Tim, it sounds a little highfalutin, and I'm not quite sure I understand it. I'm just going to be content to stay where I am and wait for God to come back and take me to paradise. Tim, that's what I want.
Well, if we stay content, we'll lose him. We have to move on, move forward, seek more and more. Because we'll lose out.
Well, see, now that's a powerful statement. We are losing out, and this is such a. If the world knew, when I was preparing this study this week, and we'll end with that. If the world knew what is on offer, what God offers us, as articulated by Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if the world got that, they would be clamoring. The church would be full. If we really understood what God is offering, if we really understood that when Jesus talks in Matthew 6, 25 through 31, that kind of life can be a reality here and now, it can be, that you don't worry, you don't have fear, you don't have anger, that you can trust God, that he's going to take care of you, and everything that comes along, if you're seeking first the kingdom, you can say, you know, right now, God, I'm not sure I quite understand it, but I trust you. If we can get that through humanity, to humanity, what a gift.
Tim,
yes.
And this is the reason a lot of people don't understand it or don't try it because it's actually too simple. Sometimes the easy answer is discarded out of hand. The most obvious. I've tripped over the obvious many times.
Yeah, I think I will say this. It's simple, but not easy. How about that? You see the distinction? It's simple, but not easy. Now, I'm going to end with this, and I want to charge you with something. If you're praying, if you find it, you don't get answers, and you pray, and things aren't happening, and you don't see God's intervention, then I'm going to suggest to you. I don't know, but I'm just going to suggest to you. That you want God to take care of that need while you seek your own kingdom. It's letting go of that. It's letting go of that. That is the huge step. Huge, because it's frightening. The Holy Spirit is inviting you to do that. To let go of your seeking your kingdom. Seek his through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you watch what God's going to do. I believe Jesus. I trust him. Now, we're going to end here, but you have your little notes, and you have your highlighters, and you're going to bring these highlighters and notes next week, Jason, right? No leaving it in the back of the pew telling me you were just waiting for next week. Teresa says, leave their high. Teresa obviously doesn't trust you with these highlighters. So, okay, do whatever you want with the highlighters, okay? But bring the notes next week at least, and we will continue with this. Now, yeah, we're going to refer back to that other page. We're getting there. Okay, let's pray. Lord, give us the desire of our hearts. Change us, transform us. Amen.